Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The prophet Isaiah speaks this. He says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." We're going to jump down to verse 4. "They will rebuild," say rebuild, "the ancient ruins and restore," say restore, "the places long devastated. They will renew," say renew, "the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." We're going to jump down to verse 7. "Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs." Can we give God a big shout of praise for an incredible text today? Thank you so much, Catherine. Today I want to speak to you on this very simple thought: the God of rebuilding, restoring, and renewing. The God of rebuilding, restoring, and renewing. I want you to understand a little bit of the context of what we just read today. Isaiah 61 were the words of Isaiah uttered or spoken maybe 650, 700 years before Jesus came into the world. Even though it was, you know, 7 centuries before Jesus even came into the world, it cut through a very dark era in time of Israel's history, of God's people's history. And these words are so relevant today because in so many ways it cuts through our current reality as well, because the devil wants nothing more than to lie to you that when tough times come, when you go through a difficult time in your life will never get any better. This is as bad as it gets. You'll never recover. You just need to manage to get by and try and survive. And so many of us believers believe this lie rather than the Word of God. Today, this passage in Isaiah chapter 61 exposes a powerful facet of God's character. It cuts through to the core of who God is. And just like any amazing truth about God's character, it kind of just dismantles any lies that the enemy might have sown into your heart and your mind today. And if you kind of listen to my sermon today, it's a theology that kind of turns you and starts walking you towards Easter. It's a theology that's going to turn you and start walking you towards the cross and the empty tomb. This is what you need to understand today, and this is the spoiler to my message, is simply this: that God's nature is that He's a rebuilder, a restorer, and a renewer of human lives. No matter what you've been through, no matter how you find yourself today in God's house, or online, or in Cork, you need to understand the theology, you need to hold on to what Scripture reveals about God, is that He's a rebuilder, a restorer, and a renewer of human lives. Sin punishes us, but God restores us. That's His heart. Our disobedience damages us, but God rebuilds us and renews us. So the context of this is that 700 years before Jesus came into the world, Isaiah begins to detail the Christ that is to come. And you can imagine as he begins to prophesy of this hope of the Christ that is to come, the nation of Israel were under exile at the moment, at the time. God's people were under oppression. So you can imagine them even looking at themselves, listening to the prophet Isaiah uttering these words and feeling a little bit confused. It's literally like, what on earth are you talking about? Don't you know, Isaiah, that we are under oppression? Don't you know that we're being ruled by a foreign power? They're making us work. They're trying to dilute our culture. We're displaced. We're lost. These are dark days, Isaiah. What are you talking about, this God who comes to set at liberty the captives and set free the prisoners and to rebuild and restore and renew? None of this would have made sense. But you need to understand today, as we read this scripture, God reveals not just His identity to us, but He reveals His mission and His assignment to the human race. His identity is love, but His assignment toward you is always to rebuild, to restore, and to renew. Someone needs to say amen. His assignment towards you, His entire mission toward the human race is always to rebuild, to restore, and to renew. Right from the very start of the book of Genesis, when man separated from God because of sin and disobedience, driven by His identity, which is love, His character, which is love, God set about on a relentless assignment to send Jesus to restore, rebuild, and renew. now it makes sense, doesn't it? Because the Bible also tells us that the devil, Satan himself's entire assignment is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Little wonder Jesus' entire assignment for your life is to rebuild, restore, and renew. Come on, somebody. The enemy knows that if he can't steal your salvation from you, he can steal, kill, and destroy your purpose. Come on. Your calling, your hope, your joy, your peace. But God today is revealing his hand to you that his entire assignment is to restore, rebuild, and renew your life. Come on, somebody. The reason for that is because God loves you so much that he'll accept you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. He might find you in a state of some kind, beaten down by life. He loves you so much that he'll accept you just as you are. But you got to understand, he loves you too much to leave you just as he found you. He wants to take you from your place of where you are right now to a place of restoration, a place of rebuilding, and a place of renewal. Today, I reckon one of the greatest epidemics in the world is not COVID or swine flu or bird flu. I reckon one of the greatest epidemics in the world today is hopelessness. The lie that things are never going to get any better, this is as good as it gets for you. You're just going to have to struggle along and maybe medicate some of that pain any way you know how. The greatest epidemic, I think, in the human soul has been around for thousands and thousands of years is the lie that whatever it is that you're experiencing right now, you're just going to have to accept it. But that's not the truth of the Bible. The Bible tells us that we've got a God who is a rebuilder and a restorer and a renewer of broken lives. That includes you and that includes me. From Genesis to Revelation, that's been the entire message of the gospel. Happy Easter, somebody. And yet for so many of us, we believe and accept the lie. We call ourselves believers, but we accept the lie that this is as good as it's going to get. It's not going to get any better. We're going to just manage this pain. We're just going to struggle along. That's not the promise that's found in the Bible. Isn't it strange that even in all our affluence, for those of us that live in the first world, wherever you're watching this today, we have so many things. We got stuff materially. We have so much knowledge. We've got access to this thing called the internet. We have all of these contactability and accessibilities. We're deeply connected to all different parts of the world, and yet there is a deep sense of hopelessness. Today, the Word of God cuts through that, and I want to get it through to you today. Some of you are already listening with very cynical ears, thinking, oh, this is not for me. Can I suggest to you today, begin to open up your heart and your mind that God is a rebuilder, a restorer, and a renewer of broken lives. Everybody here in this building and everyone watching online and in Cork, you might have suffered some kind of loss. We're all humans. Maybe it's a relational loss. Maybe there's been a marital loss. Maybe there's been some kind of relationship breakdown somewhere that broke your heart, and maybe you're grieving that sense of loss. Maybe you're here today, you tried your best to raise your kids as good as you could, but maybe somehow along the way they made some poor choices and that relationship was broken down. Or maybe somehow you're just starting to see them make some choices that are damaging to their own lives. Others here, maybe you just experienced years of unmet disappointment, unmet expectations. Maybe there's a sense of hope deferred and you're wondering, God, am I done? Am I past my use-by date? Am I just like a carton of milk that's past the expiry date? Others here, maybe you've gone through the trauma of the death of a loved one. Maybe you've gone through, you know, somewhere there's a deep grief and you're wondering, God, I can't even get through the day some days. Is there any hope for me? Maybe some of you are here, and once upon a time, you served Jesus with all of your heart. But today, you find yourself just getting by in life, barely hanging in there with your faith. Others here, maybe you've experienced financial destitution. There's been a bankruptcy somewhere, or maybe a business deal that didn't go down so well. And you wonder, God, will those promises of influence ever come? I want to say this to you today. You've got a God who rebuilds, restores, and renews. The enemy wants to continue to lie to you that you will never have it good again. blessing will never come your way again. Whatever that you've gone through is too far, has rendered you too far gone. But that is not the God of the Bible. His entire mission has been to restore, rebuild, and renew human lives. 700 years before Jesus even comes into the world, Isaiah prophesies this to a nation who's experienced great destitution. They're displaced. They are hopeless. 700 years later, Jesus comes into the world. And before he even does any ministry, he rocks up to the main temple, the place of worship. Everyone's reading and debating about scripture. Jesus goes up straight to the book, the scroll. He begins to open it and begins to read out the prophecy about himself that happened 650, 700 years before through the prophet Isaiah. And we begin to read this in Luke chapter 4. Jesus is saying things about himself. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set at liberty the captives, to open blind eyes. Come on, somebody. And then he says this. It was like a mic drop moment in Luke 4:20. Then he closed the book and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. If you had any doubt about the power of the Easter message, say today, Jesus has fulfilled his role as a rebuilder, a renewer, and a restorer of my life. In Jesus' name, give God a big shout of praise. Today, Luke 4:20, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So that today, 2,000 years later, when we read the canon of scripture and we read that word today, we can appropriate that todayness, if that's even a word, appropriate the todayness of this truth in Jesus' name. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been through. That's true. I don't know what you've been through. But I know that you've got a Savior who knows what you've been through. And his assignment hasn't changed in thousands of years, that he is a rebuilder, a renewer, and restorer of broken lives. But some of you might be thinking, that's good. That's quite encouraging, isn't it? Yeah, I'll take that. But wait, there's more. Whenever God rebuilds, restores, and renews, he doesn't rebuild, restore, and renew back to you what you've lost. He always rebuilds, restores, and renews all that you've lost into something far better. I don't know if you caught this in Isaiah 61 verse 7, but this is what Isaiah says about what God was going to do to an exiled people. He said, instead of their shame, my people receive exactly what they lost. Does it say that? It says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. That's the kind of God you have. Come on. And so they will inherit a double portion in case they were in doubt. A second time around, he comes and reiterates it. A double portion in their land and everlasting joy will be theirs. I don't know about you, but there's got to be some people in the room, online and in Cork, that are ready for a double portion. You're just sick of what the enemy has stolen in terms of your health, your marriage, your family. God, I'm ready for a double portion. This is the truth that we need to hold on to, that when God rebuilds something, he makes it bigger and better than what it was before. When he restores something, he restores it to twice that was lost. When he renews it in so much more than what it used to be, because that is his character. That is the nature of who God is. And this is what you need to understand. That there is a double portion coming for some of you. This is the nature of God. It's as I began to read this, I began to reflect even in my own life. For those of you that don't know our story, we have we're raising a 17-year-old disabled son. And there have been seasons in my life where I go, God, this is as good as it's going to be for our family. And then I begin to study the nature of God and I begin to realize that a double portion is coming for everything the enemy's stolen from my son. There are some people here today where you've begun to believe the lie that this is as good as it's gonna get. Accept the facts. I don't know about you, you can choose to accept the facts or you can believe the truth. I choose to believe the truth today that your best days are what lies ahead, not what has been lost in the past. Come on, somebody. Do you know why I think God said to the nation of Israel and says to his people, I'll restore double what you've lost? Is because the one thing that God actually can't give you back is time. He can't actually take you back to 2020. Actually, no one wants to go back to 2020. That was on the... Actually, let's not talk about... He doesn't want to take... Let's pick another year. He doesn't want to take... He can't take you back to 2010. He can't take you back to 1998. Right? Well, we all wore baggy jeans. In fact, it's all come back now. Where Backstreet Boys was number one on the charts for like 48 weeks. He can't take you back to those days. He can't take you back to the past. But from today, he can rebuild, restore, and renew double all that you've lost. So it feels like he's redeemed your time. Come on, somebody. And this is the truth of the gospel, that God's laws, his way of recompensing his people, are completely different to natural laws. Under Jewish law, man-made religious law, it was always an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's how society, all of Judeo-Christian laws are based on a similar principle of a like-for-like recompense. Even today, if you don't have insurance and you prang my car, you rear-end me, you got to cough up for the money to restore my car at the panel beaters. Make sense to you guys? That's how the law works. We understand that's how society works. But when it comes to God's laws, you need to understand that the grace of God is always greater than man's law. It's always, he's a biased judge, and he's a biased judge towards you. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching my heart out here today. He's a biased judge, and he's always biased towards you. God's laws are always weighted in your favor. It's always weighted in your favor. In fact, when we begin to read about the nature of God, we see it everywhere in Scripture. Here's a principle about the seed and fruit. Matthew 13, verse 23. He who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, he who indeed bears fruit and produces one seed for one fruit. Does it say that? No. It says 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Incredible. God's recompense, God's way of multiplying what he's doing in your life is completely unfair, and it is unfair in your favor. It is never one apple seed for one apple fruit. It's never, you know, but in God, it's one seed that produces an apple tree that produces apples for generations. This is the beautiful grace of God we see in 2 Kings, Elisha asking Elijah for an anointing. Elijah didn't just give Elisha the same anointing, gave him a double portion. Come on, somebody. We see in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, he ripped people off, and in the conviction of God as he began to speak to Jesus, decides in his own heart that he was going to recompense fourfold everything that he had stolen. Come on. We see the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, where the prodigal son goes and squanders half of the father's inheritance that was due to him because there were two sons. And when he comes back and gets reconciled and restored and rebuilt and renewed in the father's house, the father gives him back far much more what he squandered. That is the God that you serve. And if you're here today and you've suffered a setback, understand that a setback is just a setup for twice the comeback in Jesus' name. Oh, PK. You don't understand how much I've lost. You don't understand how much pain I've been through. You don't understand what kind of grief I'm carrying. You have no idea what I've done. You have no idea. People have told me that you can never get this. It'll never be the same again. If you're here today and that lie, that narrative continues to play in you, believer, I'm encouraging you to start believing the word of God, that you have a God whose entire mission since sin entered into the world was to rebuild, restore, and renew your life. That's the kind of God that you have. His justice is completely unfair, and it is always unfair in your favor. Some of you are thinking, okay, that's really good for some people in the room, but I don't really know if that's for me. Psalm 33, verse 4. I got a verse for you too. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. He's going to restore, rebuild, and renew your life. Faithful in all he does describes the unconditional commitment that God has toward you. Some of us like to transpose how we are toward each other onto the way God is toward us. He is unconditionally committed to you, not like what we are to each other. How many of you ever been? How many of you ever invited someone to one of your functions, or maybe it's a birthday party, and then your friend replies on Facebook, not going or going, but maybe. They click on the maybe button, waiting for a better offer. That's what we do to each other. That's what we do to church things. It's not how God treats us. When He looks at you, no matter how broken, dysfunctional, how destitute, how much loss you've suffered, He's saying, I see you, Hannah, and I'm committed unconditionally to rebuilding, restoring, and renew your life. I'm obsessed with it. It's my only mandate. It's the reason why Jesus came to the earth. Happy Easter, somebody. This is the gospel. He's so committed and faithful. He's not keeping His options open to think, oh, I want to watch and see if Hannah is a really good girl and maybe I might just give a little bit back of what she's lost. He's rebuilding, restoring, and renewing has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Him. It's got nothing to do with your good behavior, nothing to do with your good character, it's nothing to do with how hard you try. But everything to do with how good He is. The Isaiah 61 promise of rebuilding the desolate cities, restoring and renewing all that has been devastated and lost, had nothing to do with how good the Israelites were behaving. It had nothing to do with them suddenly becoming fantastic and they turned back to God. Nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with the fact that you've got an eternal God who works in your favor, who loves you so much. Come on, somebody. You know, sometimes I think that we give the devil far too much credit. We label the destruction that he inflicts on us as so powerful that God can't restore it. Some of us think to ourselves, well, you have no idea the things I struggle with. It's been in my family line for generations. I want to speak to that today. For those of you that don't know my story, our family come from a long line of pagan worshippers. We come from a long line of Buddhists, worshipping idols, paying homage to dead spirits. And that was all in my family line. And I can tell you now, our family have been grafted to a new bloodline through Jesus Christ. All of the things that should have flowed down to me have been cut off and severed. It has been rebuilt, restored, and renewed. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking addiction's been in my family for generations. It's been in my dad's dad, and his dad before him. That's why I'm struggling. Relational breakdown and dysfunction has been in our family for years. Some of you are thinking today that infidelity and idolatry and abuse and trauma, they're all part of my family history, and that's why I'm grappling with this. I want to suggest to you today, through Jesus Christ, He's restoring, rebuilding, and renewing you to a brand new bloodline in Jesus Christ. It stops with you. It stops with you, but grace, favor, mercy, blessing, double portion, 30, 60, 100-fold, that's your new inheritance in Jesus' name. That's your new inheritance. And today at the foot of the cross, we all get to say, today the scripture is fulfilled in my hearing. Today, the todayness of Luke chapter 4 is today. Some of you are thinking, man, you have no idea what my dad did. There's no way God can do anything good out of that. It's so destroyed our family. Some of you are thinking, you have no idea what my grandmother was about. All the things she said, how she ripped the... that you've got no idea. Can I suggest to you that God doesn't just rebuild, restore, and renew you right now in today. All the things that maybe have been stolen from you, but He's renewing, restoring, and rebuilding in your life for generations to come. Some of you may have heard of a man by the name of Abraham in the Bible. Have you heard Abraham in the Bible? Abraham, when we introduced to Abraham, he was a very different character. We're not introduced to him like other characters in the Bible where we kind of see them when they're young, you know what I mean? Like David and Joseph and Esther and characters like that. We meet them when they were young. Abraham, when we meet him in the Bible in Genesis, he's an old guy, really old. And him and his wife Sarah, we're told, have been trying for a really long time to have children, but now they're past childbearing age. So you can imagine what it's like being in your 70s, past childbearing age. And God comes to Abraham and Sarah and says to them, I'm promising you, Abraham, that you're going to be the father of many nations. In fact, pulls him out of a tent one day and says, Abraham, I want you to look up in the sky, see all the stars, so shall your descendants be. Now, for God to come to an old guy who him and his wife are past childbearing age, either God is incredibly sadistic or is incredibly powerful. Would you agree? and says to Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. How can you be a father of many nations when you don't even have one child? And so God comes to Abraham with this promise, but God doesn't fulfill this promise immediately. How many of you have ever had a promise from God and he doesn't fulfill immediately? So Abraham decides, I'm going to help God along a little. Have you ever tried to help God along a little? Just me. Y'all are all liars. Come on. Have you ever had tried to help God along a little? So Abraham thought, man, I'm going to try and help God along a little. And so he has an affair and he sleeps with his wife's Egyptian handmaiden called Hagar. She conceives a child and named him Ishmael. This was not part of God's plan. This was not God's desire for Abraham. And some of you might be thinking, oh, that's really terrible. Did God then write Abraham off? Because he probably should have. What an epic failure. Poor judgment, terrible choice, Abraham. Some of us might be judging him. But this is not our God. In spite of Abraham's failings, in spite of the ruin it might have brought, God still was faithful to the promise, not because of Abraham's good character, but because of his good character. Come on, somebody. And the time actually comes where God fully fulfills the promise. Sarah's womb opens and they give birth to Isaac. God fully redeems the promise. In spite of Abraham's failing, give God a big shout of praise today. But that's not where it stops. So here's Abraham. And out of a poor choice and haste of wanting to help God along, sleeps with his wife's handmaid and has an affair with her. She gives birth to Ishmael. Sarah is so distraught, completely cuts off Hagar. She has got to move away to a different location, takes Ishmael with her. Abraham still has the promises of God on the inside of him. God says, Abraham, I still see you. In spite of all your failings, I am still a good God. And I'm going to rebuild, restore, renew. Sarah's womb opens. She finally has Isaac. We all applauded that. Isaac has a son called Jacob. Jacob has a son called Joseph. Three generations later, Joseph has incredible dreams of significance, so much so that his own brothers hate him, that they beat him up and throw him into a pit. That's a family dysfunction right there. They took the coat that Jacob, his father, gave to Joseph and dipped it in animal's blood and said to their father, some animals got to our brother Joseph and I think he's dead now, so like we can't find his body. But they in fact beat him up and left him in the pit to die. It's a hopeless situation. How can God redeem this family dysfunction? They left me for dead. But I don't know that God is a God who rebuilds, restores, and renews. Because the spectacular part of the story is found in verse 28 of Genesis 37. It says, then, while Joseph was in the pit, Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers of Joseph pulled Joseph up and lifted him up out of the pit and sold him to the, hold up a second, sold him to the Ishmaelites. Some of you are not getting this. Are you seeing this? Sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they, the Ishmaelites, took Joseph to Egypt. Let me preach this. Joseph got taken by the Ishmaelites to Egypt, where he actually fulfills the promises of God to be a man of influence. He becomes a prime minister of the entire region. He decides who lives, who dies. He controls the economic flow, the flow of money during a time of famine. Makes sense to you guys? This is the God you serve who rebuilds, restores, and renews. God uses the descendants of Abraham's mistake three generations later to redeem the descendants of Abraham's promise. Don't you tell me that he's not a God that can't redeem the generations. So what? There's addiction in your family. God's going to renew that. So what? There's affairs and infidelity in your family. God's going to renew that. So what? There's sickness in your family. God's going to renew that. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Happy Easter. Give God a big shout of praise. So So many of us believers believe the lie that this is as good as it gets. And yet scripture from Genesis to Revelation shows us that he's a God who is faithful to rebuild, to restore, to renew. I've been a pastor for 20 years. I'm so tired of seeing believers living day to day with the narrative that I might be saved, but I'm just surviving, trying to get to heaven maybe. That's not the cross and the empty tomb's message to you, my friend. Sir, madam, regardless of how destitute your life looks right now, regardless of what kind of past you have, you've got a God that can redeem you today for the generations to come. Man, somebody needs to give God a big shout of praise if that applies to you. There's a double portion, 30, 60, and 100-fold coming for you today. I didn't really feel to preach this today, but there is this part here, but Isaiah 61, verse 6, which we skimmed over because we didn't have time to read the whole text. There's a section in there where God begins to speak to an exiled people who were displaced, despondent, hopeless. And he says this to them. Can you imagine being enslaved and in bondage and you're hearing this? And God says, Isaiah 61, verse 6, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. That word minister is a servant of God, one who serves. I really believe prophetically in this place today, there's some people here where there have been once upon a time in your life, you served God with your whole life. You found a fulfillment in your gifts being used. You found a fulfillment in your place in God. But because of something that happened in life that beat you down, you find yourself now just attending church. You find yourself today just getting by. Can I suggest to you today, there's people here, there's an anointing here online in Cork for God to rebuild, renew, restore all of your whole soma, as the Bible says, your body, presenting it as a living sacrifice in service to God, because there are gifts and there are talents in you that the world has not yet seen, that the devil wants to keep hidden. Come on, somebody. Some of you are going to say, oh, please don't say that. Please don't say that. I like hiding. Hide no more. Hide no more. In this lead up to Easter, hide no more. The stone was rolled away to rebuild, restore, and renew your life. You need to know that you haven't got a Savior that's still stuck on a wooden cross. You don't have a Savior that's buried in a tomb anymore. He's a risen God, and he rose again to rebuild, restore, and renew. Today, it's fulfilled in your hearing. Musicians, you can join me right across this room today. I don't know where your heart is at online and in Cork, but this is what you need to know. The message of Easter is that you've got a God who rebuilds, restores, and renews everything that the enemy might have taken from you. For so many of us, it's not that we don't believe that God can do it, but for some of us, we carry the shame of what we've lost. We carry the pain of, my life shouldn't be this way, but this is where I find myself today. Instead of your shame, you're going to receive double portion, double honor. There were seasons in our own life where I carry the shame of having a son with a disability. What did we do wrong? We had no answers. We didn't know what was wrong until he got his diagnosis several years into his life. Was it something we did when Chrissy was pregnant for this to happen to him? We found out later it was genetic. It was passed through our genes, chromosomal issues. And there was a season in my life where I believed the narrative that life is just tough. And we're just going to get by, until the Lord spoke to me this message close to 12 years ago. This message was written in my heart 12 years ago to say, Ken, I'm the God that rebuilds, restores, and renews far greater than anything you've lost. See, loss is just a perception, but the rebuilding, restoring, renewing is the truth of God. And if you're here today and maybe the sense is, God, I'm too old. It's too far gone. Don't know how you can redeem this. I promise you, the God of the Bible can do far greater than you can ask, think, or imagine. in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.